What is going on, Frocketeers out there in the world? This is your ear rapist, Ben. We have another great edition of the Frotcast live from our Frot quarters in San Francisco. Blogger extraordinaire Vince is here.
Hey, you guys. What's going on? Oh, man. That was
really good. Nice work. And human giant Brandon.
Fraud on.
And Brandon Mendelson is blooped in right now.
What's up, crackers?
And Brandon, how would...
We forgot to call him a fucking asshole. Oh, that's how he wanted to be introduced.
Yeah, he did have a request of a fucking asshole.
Don't worry, we can fix this all in editing.
Okay. Fix it in post.
Brandon, how would people know you? What do you do when you're not live on the Frotcast?
A raging dick on Twitter.
Wow.
That's all there is to it.
All right. Vince said that you've up to about a million Twitter followers. Is that accurate?
At one point, yeah. I chased away about 200,000 of those guys, so...
Nice work.
That's a much better accomplishment.
I've lost
more Twitter followers than you'll ever have. Or I've chased away more. Is like you've actively like gone about forcing them to unfollow you.
How does one get up to close to a million and then follow up? How does one chase away about 20%?
Well, I sucked a lot of dick. And I was put on a...
Whoa. Brandon, this is not that kind of show, okay? So we're just going to need to turn down... Just take the vulgarity knob and just pod that down a little bit because, you know, we got little kids listening and women and mothers.
Dogs, cats.
Breastfeeding pregnant women, you know.
This is a really popular show in Lamaze class.
Yeah, it is. So just in deference to those listeners. Sure.
People for the ethical treatment of animals, they're big fans of ours.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. While they're pouring paint on fur coats, they listen to the Frotcast often.
There you go.
But yes, tell us that story because sure. I was trying to go down the rabbit hole of your web persona. You're writing. Tell us about your book. Let's say.
Sure.
Let's start there.
The book is called "Social Media is Bullshit," and the whole Twitter story will really kind of give you the gist of that. Basically, I was traveling across America promoting the early detection of breast cancer. Really, it was just an excuse to cop a feel. Unfortunately, my wife came with me, so that didn't happen. But the people at Twitter, I got in touch with them, and they were like, "Oh, hey, yeah, let's work together. Let's promote this account." So my account got promoted, and it got jacked way up to about a million followers. But I noticed that nobody clicked on like anything, and so I was really like, "All right, well, all of these people are assholes because I'm doing this thing for charity, and no one is donating, no one is clicking. What's the deal?" And so as I started to really investigate that, I was like, well, apparently it's not just me. This is like everybody. And so I kind of came to the conclusion that it's all bullshit. And so, yeah.
So would you say the book is sort of a combination, sort of humor and, research based?
Yeah.
Now, when you say it's bullshit, are you talking about specifically to your case where you were trying to raise money for a certain cause?
I'm saying all of it.
Really?
I'll give you a great example.
I guess the reason I ask it, and I kind of frame it in this context, is because a guy that we've had on here and a friend of the Frotcast is Justin Halpern, who had the "shit my dad says" thing. And obviously he was a guy who was living at home without a job, and that really got him his foot in the door. And I still keep up with him, and he's got some various offers for writing gigs, even though the show got canceled. So he has really been able to parlay into something useful, whereas obviously you didn't kind of see the same results.
Right.
Funny, quick aside on that. Sorry. I was reading some of your press clips, and one of them was, an article about people getting book deals from Twitter feeds, and it mentioned you, and it mentioned Justin Halpern, and it was basically like talking to agents who were finding writers from Twitter, and one of them was Justin's agent. Who was talking about like finding? Who was like, "Yeah, you know, I'm just looking for fresh new voices on Twitter wherever I can find them." And that's like the same guy who said my book proposal wasn't good enough.
Hey, not everyone's a good word writer, bro.
So it was just very disappointing for me to read. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'll find I'm really into humor. I'm really into narrative nonfiction. Like basically all the stuff that I do, and that's like all that is his favorite thing." And
maybe you need to come
back
down
to the drawing board.
Come
for,
down off
for
your
old Vince,
your Ascot diploma on the wall.
Yeah, it really should.
So Brandon, you said that you were interviewing Justin about it.
That's right. And if you look at the interview he did with Time Magazine, He mentioned, you know, specifically Rob Corddry was what jumpstarted his account.
Right.
And if you look at stuff like Double Rainbow, it was Jimmy Kimmel who really, like, spread that thing virally. So I can never say virally, so I sound like a little special ed when I say it, so bear with me. I'm just kidding, Grant.
That's because you're from Long Island, is that?
Yeah, it's one of those retarded things. And I can say retard, right? Is that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. We have a lot of pregnant ladies, but no retards listening. Okay. Not yet, at least. Maybe in utero.
Maybe.
Retards.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is pretty much this. Like, if you're using Twitter, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with Twitter specifically. It's the idea of social media, like, in general, like this idea that you can put something online anywhere and then become famous, and that you don't need anything in between that to make it happen. Like with Justin Halpern, he had Rob Corddry, and with Double Rainbow, he had Jimmy Kimmel. With Anton Dotson, you know, he had the whole Reddit community. If you look at Tay Zondi, the Chocolate Rain thing came out of 4chan. So all of those guys all had something behind them that made it happen.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, Justin was like an editor at Maxim before, you know. It wasn't like, yeah.
It was like he just had this magical Twitter feed and all of a sudden he's a writer.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. I feel like the main thrust of it is that, like, the online influence is greatly overestimated in the media because it sounds good for us, which is totally true when you look at movies like Scott Pilgrim and Watchmen and stuff that was just fucking huge on all the movie sites. And wow, come to find out, none of the world at large gave a shit about them.
Yep.
Yeah, so, and that happens a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. There's a lot of stuff in the book about how it's just, you know, we want to believe the lie. That's the thing, is that no one wants to be like, this is fucking bullshit. You know, they all want to go, okay, cool, I can do it. I can put something on YouTube and that could be huge. And no one wants to say, well, no, that's not going to happen for you. I'm sorry. Because you just don't want to be that asshole. But since I am a professional asshole, I took it upon myself to do that.
Well, so do you think it's more about, I mean, I think what it still comes down to is, you know, I see what you're saying about, like, the myth where anyone can become famous for anything, whereas I just think that it has sort of lowered the barriers to entry and kind of flattened out the distribution channels where someone who's talented, it's much easier to find them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I look at it like this. I'm a big baseball fan. And if your goal is to get on the Dodgers, you got to go through a whole bunch of levels, right? You got to go through single A and double A and triple A. For a lot of us, thanks to the web, we can get to triple A. And that's great. You can make a good living at the AAA level. But a lot of us also really want to, you know, break big and get, like, Justin Halpern and get that CBS show and get William Shatner to salvage that thing. Because that show was horrible. I'm sorry. I really like Justin, but the CBS show was terrible. But, you know, we all want to break through that level, but we can't do that. So, you know, you can make it to the AAA level thanks to what the web has done, but you can't get any further than that without that, right? So it's like either a push or someone you know, or sometimes it's luck. If you look at Justin Bieber, I mean, he's a talentless dick, but he knew someone, you know? Like, this Scooter Braun accidentally found him and was like, oh, hey, I know Usher. Let me hook you guys up. And that's how
there's someone
happened.
Named Scooter Braun. Please back up and explain this to me, please.
He worked for Sosa Def Records. I don't remember the artist. I don't think it's ever been said the artist that he was looking for, but the story goes he was dicking around YouTube, probably had his cock in one hand and a beer in the other, and was like, oh, hey, this kid is really talented. And that's so, you know, like, it does lower the barrier of entry, because without that, Justin Bieber wouldn't have been discovered. But it took that guy, it took Scooter Braun to go, oh, well, let me see what I could do with this kid.
What? I think it even extends out to...
Hold on. All this talk about lowered barriers to entry is just getting me all hot, so... All
right. Well, you know.
Yeah. I'm just, you guys don't mind if I take my pants off, do you?
Your pants are already off.
That's so true.
Lower that barrier to entry, Vince.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it extends out to reality TV. It's just there's so many different ways to connect with people. I mean, you see Jamie Chung from... Vince, did you see her have any sex at Real World San Diego?
No, I didn't. She was actually the cast member that was so boring that the producers were thinking up, you know, they were actively trying to think up some plot line that they could get Jamie involved because she didn't do anything.
Like putting bags of coke in her purse to try to get her arrested.
And I just remember one night. Okay, also, I don't know if you guys noticed, but that bitch is like cross-eyed or something. She is cockeyed as all hell.
Vince, she's Asian.
No, she's not. The thing thing about it is the fact that she's Asian disguises the fact that she's cockeyed because you can't see her eyeballs as well as you would but if she, you know, had normal eyes.
From real world to
Sucker Punch.
Well, and Hangover 2.
She's pretty. I'm sure she's a nice girl. But when I was watching real world footage, the one thing that stuck out was I remember one night they were off. You know, they were off in Rancho. What is that? Rancho Santa Fe, the one place east of Del Mar.
Yeah,
in San Diego. Yeah, Rancho Santa Fe. And you know, it's got all like the Spanish names of streets.
Yep.
And she's like trying to pronounce the name of the street, and she's like Laval Platita. Like she couldn't pronounce the Spanish name at all. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, maybe she's, you know, she's from like Kentucky or something. I look at, she's like from Northern California. Like, how do you grow up in fucking NorCal and not know how to pronounce Spanish things? It's like half the town.
Because you're a talentless twat, idiot, moron.
That's
stupid.
I do not abide by personal attacks. Okay.
Suck my dick.
We're gonna talk about Anthony Weiner. We're gonna talk about Sarah Palin. All.
Yeah. I know we're about 10 minutes in, but we actually all saw X-Men Third Grade. Brett is on his way. I think he's at a squirrel drawing seminar.
Oh, should we read our email? We got a couple.
Yeah, we got
emails.
A couple emails. Thanks for sending that. I don't know. We can update the fantasy box office. I think Vince's movie's the only one that came out.
Yeah, we only got one update on the fantasy box office so far. My picks were Harry Potter, X-Men, Green Lantern, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. X-Men came out $55.1 million opening, which I believe was the final number. Ben's picks, Cars, Super 8, which is coming out this weekend, which sucked, by the way. The Zookeeper, Paul Blart Zookeeper.
I thought you were embargoed, bro.
No, I asked.
The embargo's been lifted?
Yeah, it has.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, fucking Brezhnev blinked. Or was it was it Khrushchev? It was Khrushchev.
Yeah, I gotta ask. Was Super 8 the face fucking that I thought it would be?
Yeah, it was. I went into it with very minimal expectations. I didn't really know what to expect. I liked Star Trek. I don't really have anything against. I'm not really very pro or anti J.J. Abrams in any significant way.
Sure.
So I just sort of went into it with a blank slate, and I compared it to Indiana Jones 4 in my review, and a bunch of people, it's tracking almost 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. So a bunch of people were giving me shit about that, but
well, you are still embargoed from Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, still.
Okay, good.
Still, but not for maybe. Hopefully, not for much longer.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, but and I think of the way I would explain it is like Indiana Jones 4 might be more like clumsily made, where like the actual filmmaking, the story doesn't track, and like retarded stuff happen. You know,
I actually never even saw Indiana Jones.
Oh, never bothered. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the nuke the fridge moment. There's like he's swinging through the trees with
monkeys. Don't
aliens
show up?
The aliens show up. It's idiotic. It's a lot more idiotic than Super 8, but like if you bought into all this everything that Super 8 did, and you know it's pretty dumb, but even if you bought into all of it, there's just nothing in it. It's just like a big fucking empty echo chamber.
You weren't buying it.
It's just the Goonies meets Harry and the Hendersons, and that's the whole fucking movie.
The aliens Harry?
That sounds like a fucking awesome movie.
Yeah, maybe if it was 1987 and I was 10, but now that everybody else has been copying that for, you know, the 10 years after Harry and the Hendersons came out, and I developed critical faculties since then, and it was just a lot of cliches. There was definitely at one point the "you just don't get it, do you?"
That's a good one. Yeah. We were talking before we started recording how you were worried that your brain was melting and rotting because you just were seeing all the stupid summer movies.
Yeah,
and you were actually happy that you hated it.
That's correct. Yeah, because I mean, I saw the last three movies I think I reviewed were Bridesmaids, Hangover 2, and X-Men. And you know, X-Men was probably the only legitimately like good quote-unquote movie I would say of the three. But you know, I enjoyed Bridesmaids, I enjoyed Hangover 2, and I was just worried. I haven't gone any other time where I actually watched one or two or three movies every week, and I was worried I was just like sandblasting my brain with all these stupid-ass movies. And I don't know if you've ever read older critics like Peter Travers or Ebert. After so many years of being a film critic, I think you just go completely insane, and I'm worried that I'm just killing my brain with all these stupid-ass movies. So when I saw Super 8, I was actually happy that I had a visceral negative reaction to it. And I did. I would have walked out. If it wasn't a free screening where I was like trapped between film critics, I would have walked out.
Would you have made a big stink and yelled and thrown your notes in the air?
I did make a big stink. I couldn't help it. I was like,
God. Like, oh, my God.
I was sighing out loud. I was like, oh, God, really?
Is anyone else hating this?
Yeah, seriously. I walked out of the movie and these guys behind me like, oh, that was good. And I almost turned around and like grabbed the guy by the collar and pushed him against the wall.
Fuck you, man.
Don't you ever say that.
Fuck you, man.
Almost. I almost did. Yeah. I totally should have.
Dude, I was about to kick his ass, bro.
I did, dude. Bro.
I know jiu-jitsu, man.
If some guy didn't hold me back at the last minute, oh,
I would have choked him out with a rear naked arm bar, bro. Fucking A. Fucking A. He wouldn't even have known what's coming.
I would have put him in a body triangle.
Dude, I would have put his arm to sleep. I would have put his arm to sleep. He would have had pins and needles for like 5 minutes at least.
That's brutal, man. You don't want to mess with pins and needles. Oh, look at him. He's limping because his leg's asleep. Yeah.
Dude,
what's up now?
Give him the stranger. Yeah.
Who's the biatch now?
Yeah. So, hey, have fun writing your review in the next 5 minutes with your limp arm.
Dead ass.
Dick.
Okay. So Brendan's picks were Transformers. That's the big pick.
Yeah. I picked third too. I don't know how you guys missed that one.
I picked last. That would have been my first pick.
I think Harry Potter 7. What is it? 7.3.
Yeah.
Did one of you say that The Onion had a news story about how they're going to split the final Harry Potter into four more movies?
No, 10 parts. It's 10 parts, and people were posting on Facebook like, "This is not cool."
But I'll still see them. I just like, how could they split it into so many parts?
Bad Teacher, Mr. Popper, Penguins. That was
By the way,
Brendan's.
That is one of the trailers that infuriated me.
I came into X-Men First Class. First of all, I'm surprised that I liked it because I came in to that fucking movie just hot, fucking angry because I had to sit through Mr. Popper's Penguins, that stupid body switch trailer, and then I think I blanked out the other ones.
Well,
they
there was
all
the robot
so
fighting.
Oh, and robot fighting, yeah. But it's like, can you think of a more tired, fucked out premise than the body switch? It has been done so many times.
I agree, but I think that was kind of the jumping off point for the change up. They're like, what's the dumbest thing? And then they sort of, I don't know. It could be a send up of body swap movies.
I don't want to watch that either.
Could be. I don't really either. You're right.
I don't want to watch the send up of body swap movies. Yeah.
Brandon, did you see the trailer for Mr. Popper's Penguins? And
I did, and then immediately cried for about a half hour afterwards.
Just because that movie's getting made?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it drives me crazy because you always know that there's that big slush pile of like good scripts that they're never going to make. And then you see that roll out. And it's just like Hollywood taking a giant shit all over everyone who's ever submitted a script and just never had it made. That's like, okay, yep, Jim Carrey and Penguins. Fuck yeah, let's do that.
Well, yeah,
it takes a longer time to read than it does to read a script than it does to just. Right.
I actually took notes because I was so angry, and I have it on my iPhone, and I just took the
Dear
notes.
Dear sir,
it's like yeah, no, I just took the notes of like how.
No. It starts off as, hey Brendan.
Yeah. Dear Brendan.
To whom it may concern.
Dear Brendan, I'm writing this to you because you're going to be really angry about this. No,
don't forget this angry feeling. I never want you to forget.
No, this was just clinical cold list form rather than any sort of personal manifesto. I just wrote, this is like, you know, stupid movie by the numbers. And this is a list of things I saw in the trailer. Nutshot, penguin fart, white guy dancing to hip hop. That's all you need to know about Mr. Popper's Penguins.
It really is. There's a rule nowadays where if you have a movie with animated things in it or an animated movie that you are not allowed not to dance to hip hop at some point.
Right.
Oh, you have yeah.
Preferably teaching someone to dance to hip hop.
Also, I think it bears mentioning that they were dancing to Ice Ice Baby.
Wasn't there another?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was Ice Ice Baby. They were all dancing, and then one of the penguins fell down.
Yeah. Is this supposed to be like a parody of Happy Feet? Weren't they all dancing in that movie?
I don't know.
I didn't see it.
Like that's far beyond parody.
I only saw it a couple times. I don't remember that part.
But a penguin farted. That's all you need to know.
I didn't put our
the bathtub.
Yeah,
I didn't put our bomb picks on here. But Brett's picks were Cowboys and Aliens, Smurfs, Spy Kids 4, and Horrible Bosses. My bomb pick, I believe, was The Change Up. Brendan,
Mine was Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Yeah,
that's going to make money. Because here's the thing. Movies that people have heard of always do well, even if they suck. And everyone's heard of that. But it did have a really huge budget. So
Yeah, I think it was like a $150 budget. And we're still talking opening weekend.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's still probably like a $50, $60 million opening weekend for this monster budget.
Yeah, so then I've still got 100,000.
What was your bomb pick?
I think it was might have been Smurfs.
Okay.
And then
no one picked Zookeeper. That's no, kind of a it's a dark horse.
I didn't realize how big that budget was.
Is it a big budget? Because I think I stayed away from it because I didn't think it had that big of a budget.
According to it was 90, wasn't it?
According to the land of Wikipedia, it was $90 million.
What?
Yeah.
Oh!
Dude, as Brett pointed out, making those animals' lips move is not cheap.
Yeah, that shit's expensive.
Fuck me.
Making Kevin James's lips move is a lot cheaper. All you need is a trough of McDonald's cheeseburgers.
And a bunch of, like, yeah. Hey,
Brendan dropped his
Brendan
mic. I think he
died.
Might be dead.
Brendan died. He's dead. All right, pour a little liquor out for Brendan out there,
fuck
everybody.
You, fucking quiz.
I had this horrible dream that the zookeeper cost $90 million to make, you guys.
Oh, no, don't worry.
Go back to sleep.
Hey, Vince, don't ever mention that again.
How much did Harry Potter cost? That shit must have cost a lot.
Well, which, the part one of 10? Yeah. I think all the movies together, I don't know. I would guess, the big budget ones these days, are usually around 200, 150 to 200, which is mind-blowing. But they did make... I think they shot the final two in sort of one shooting schedule.
How much did Rock'em Sock'em Robots cost?
In real steel? Probably a lot.
Probably 100?
Oh, over 100 easily.
So
Oh, God. Somebody in the comment section, when I was ripping on real steel, someone in the comment section like just wandered in from Google, and they're like, boy, tough crowd around here. I thought this looked really delightful. Are you fucking high? It's a movie where Hugh Jackman trains robots to box each other.
I just want the robot at the end to like learn how to love. And like, at the end,
oh,
it's like,
you know he will.
Friend.
Well, I
that's
I
basically actually, how a Super 8 ended.
I'm actually a little. I'm a kind of a sucker for silly futuristic movies. So robots fighting is actually up my alley. And then they bring in his stupid son, where it's like, come on, Dad, fight! Find a fighting robot for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The kid's gonna fuck it up. It's the over-the-top corollary.
Yeah, it's like get the goddamn like if the kid died in the first 10 minutes, and then maybe he fought robots to avenge his son's death by
That'd
another
be
robot.
Cool.
Yeah,
or the son got killed by a robot.
That's what I mean. Like,
living in America.
Yeah,
that should be
talking.
The new rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kid dies in 10 minutes.
Yeah, kid dies in the first 10 minutes. Just like
I would go to every movie.
Yeah. Because I always feel like kids ruin movies.
Oh, God. If somebody had vandalized the Super 8 poster like they did Marley and Me, where they just spray painted the kid dies over it, I'd be so stoked.
Did the kid die in Super 8?
No.
Oh, I was going to say that might be my one reason to go see it.
Oh, so when we were talking about Harry Potter, I ever wanted to bring this up, but there's this article in one of the British tabloids about how Emma Watson thinks guys are intimidated by her fame. I don't know if you saw the other one where people at Brown, when she would answer something right, they would yell 3 points for Gryffindor.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I
thought we had another funny Emma Watson quote where she's talking about how guys are either intimidated or they're dicks to her because, you know, she's famous and they think they need to knock her down. And my favorite quote was, they know perfectly well who I am, but say, how are the Narnia films going?
And so Vince is
trolling. Vince You're is, doing it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Vince is scrolling through red carpet pics. What's up with all the women now standing with their legs? They're standing up, but their legs are like X'd. Is that new? Or
Well, it makes you look less fat. Yeah, it gives you look that hourglass look.
Is that why you do it in all your pictures?
Oh, yeah. Well, that and my crotch bulge.
You push it out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a push-up. It's like a push-up bra for my balls.
Yeah. It's not cleavage. It's beavage.
No, scrotal cleave. That's a thing.
Scrotal cleave,
yeah. Dude, that's a thing, bro. Look it up.
Yeah. Push-up sack.
A.K.A. the mangina.
Oh, I do it pretty well.
It says these flat front pants.
You
wouldn't believe
the
mangina he does in that one.
We did get a good email this week as well. We got always get a bunch of good emails, but we did get one from David. I hope he doesn't mind us using his real name. David, you've been outed. Everyone knows who you are now.
Oh, David, you're fucked.
You're fucked. You are fired. He says, hola, Frotcast. ¿Cómo se va, pincho gringos? Anywho, all formalities aside, I tried your special high five while drinking this weekend. For those of you who didn't listen, I think it was last week, Brendan suggested doling out high fives with your thumb folded in.
Colloquially known as the pigeon. So you go in for the high five, and then you fold the thumb in like you're showing four fingers.
Yeah, the two pointless real-life trolling, or IRL trolling, I guess you would call it,
yes,
are the thumb in high five, and when you're driving by and you see people on the side of the road, you pull up right next to them and you honk, and then you wave the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anywho, continue.
I was at a bar here in D.C., a two-hour, $10 open bar special. And as such, I made most of this special. Near the end of the special, the 12 rum and cokes I downed suddenly unlocked my memory, and I remembered the folded thumb high five. Being an intelligent scientist, I decided to do this folded thumb high five on some stranger walking into the bar at that moment. I locked eyes with the dude and went in for the kill. Thumb folded in, right arm cocked at right angle, ready to strike. I shrieked, "Broski, high five!" I was so focused on delivering the crippling high five that I forgot that... Oh, is that a record scratch?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I forgot that. Oh, I forgot that. Towards the front of the bar, there are a couple of steps. As such, I suddenly flew down the steps toward the stranger, folded thumb, palm, still outreached for the high five. He was so startled and the ground fairly wet from the drink that flew out of my left hand that he started jumping back, but instead slipped and fell hard on his back. Once I wiped the floor off my face and the stranger back on his feet, I once again attempted the folded-in high five and successfully completed it, all while the stranger had the most confused face. Having managed to get the high five, I put that bar in my rear view and continued into the night, looking for whores to yell at and more dudes on which to practice the folded thumb high five. Diarrhea transplants and corgis, David.
The brilliance Thanks. There is the simplicity. It's just
yeah.
It's so simple, but you do, trust me, it's called we used to call it the pigeon. You do the pigeon to somebody and they will just give you the craziest look in the world and it just throws everybody off, especially girls.
It is not something that they will soon forget.
No, it is not.
Brandon, are you familiar with the folded in high five thumb folded
I
in?
I am. I've employed it many times. I gotta ask you guys out. I've seen so many band movies from the 80s. I'm just imagining this guy slipping, right? And all I can hear in my head is some douchebag going, "Smooth move, X-Lax." Yeah.
I also like when somebody drops something and you just go, "Yeah, just set that anywhere."
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'm picturing like a slice of pizza on the record player. That seems very quintessential.
Yeah, yeah. That is such an 80s movie thing. I totally forgot that.
Just spinning around.
Or the day after a big party.
Yeah, yeah. Slice of pizza.
He's got a pizza on the record player.
Yeah, the parents come home. What is the meaning of this?
They just see the pizza is the only thing moving around still.
Yeah. Maybe there's a bra hanging off the fan.
Oh yeah. There's underwear. No, there's like a dog with one of the bra cups over one eye, and then the pizza on the turntable.
Yep.
Oh God, we got to compile those.
Yeah, definitely.
Just 80s party movie cliches.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of you have Fight for Your Right to Party.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of compiled them into one music video as well, a little bit.
Yeah.
That was a Kiss song, though, wasn't it?
No, Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys, you idiot.
Yeah, but it's a cover.
No.
Yeah, I think it is.
Fight Cover for your right to party?
Yeah.
No, are you thinking of...
I'm serious. What's the one Beastie Boys...
Are you thinking about Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day by
no,
the Kiss?
No. That's by Joan Jett. Yeah, you're right. That's by Kiss. But I'm pretty sure that's a cover.
Right
you're, like, I'm pretty sure that's a cover. I'm serious. I'm fucking serious.
A cover of what?
Can you imagine Gene Simmons
It was one
singing,
of those...
And your mom threw away your best porno mag.
You gotta fight. Vince, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one.
What is there? What is the Beastie Boys song that was like a Kiss song before it was a Beastie Boys
Brandon,
song?
Brandon, how say you?
The thought of Gene Simmons singing that would be hilarious, right, but I don't think it's a cover.
Maybe I had a fucking aneurysm, but I feel like there's a famous Beastie Boys song that was once a Kiss song.
I think you got you snorted one too many ADD pills today.
Somebody will yell at me in the comments, I'm sure.
Maybe you should drink some beers and unlock your memory.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm like halfway there. I unlocked like my brain to another dimension where
a parallel universe. Gene Simmons ghost wrote for the Beastie Boys.
On Corolla, they're playing Lick It Up by Kiss.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's God.
Terrible
Kiss
song.
Is so terrible. Oh, my God. They're the Juggalos. The Kiss fan, of Kiss your, Army is the Juggalos yeah. of yore.
I've never understood their appeal.
Well, I did when I was 13. I thought they were great. Then I stopped being 13.
Who was your favorite one?
I really liked Ace Frehley. I just liked the Starman thing. I thought that was cool.
Did you ever paint your face?
I never did. I never got that far. But I thought Kiss was pretty cool. And then, like, I don't know, I got into, like, punk rock and stopped listening to all that stuff. And then I think, like, 5 years later, I came back to it. I was like, God, this is really shitty. I can't believe I ever liked these guys.
I was never a fan, but I cannot stand Gene Simmons. In today's form.
He's so gross.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, I need to take a shower.
I always ask whether people think who's a bigger douchebag, Gene Simmons or Ted Nugent. Because I think they're both pretty gigantic douchebags.
Yeah, but at least Ted Nugent's just running around hunting stuff with a big bow and arrow. And I feel like Gene Simmons is just he's so creepy and I don't know. He weirds me out.
Yeah, I almost feel like Ted Nugent's like the crazy uncle that you can't help but love, whereas Gene Simmons is like...
Oh, really? What would you love about him? He's just as much of a douchebag. Like, whenever you see him on something, he's just such a... He's got the same creepy, like, you're fucking 40 years old and you're singing a song where... Like,
he's like 60.
Well, yeah, I know, but when he was famous singing, you know, his famous songs where it's just like... When it's bad 13-year-old...
When he was writing License to Ill.
How dare you blaspheme Wango Tango?
When he was when he was ghostwriting License to Ill for the Beastie Boys.
That's right.
Wait, so Brent,
are you also by association implicating Damn Yankees, the supergroup?
Yeah, definitely am.
How dare you?
So Brandon, real quick, is your book out at this point or is it something?
No, it'll be out next year around the same time that Gene Simmons decides to kill over, which will be great because we can have like a book release party over his grave.
Uh-huh.
Everyone will be invited. It'll be a good time.
Have you had any other books published up to this point?
No, this is going to be the first. I've always been lazy.
As we all are.
So I just decided that this was like, this was being going to break it and not the really horrible ABC Family show, but like, you know, I had to do it, and so I was lucky enough to actually get an agent to make it happen. Vince. Otherwise, I'd probably be stripping right now.
Do you have any advice for Vince?
To be fair, I have only submitted my book proposal to one agent, and so I feel like my methodology might be flawed.
Is it sort of like, didn't work, all right, back to the blog?
No, it's more just like I've been too lazy to... I feel like the blog is a good way to make you comfortable enough to not pursue anything, like, not pursue anything else because it's not it just sort of turns the volume down and everything just because it's no longer an urgent need.
But it's also never ending, right? Where a book or a column or something is sort of do it every so often or work on the book, whereas a blog is just like a never not,
yeah.
not never ending but
like
it's
most it's like if you're an actor, it's like being on a shitty sitcom or like a soap opera where like most actors they work freelance and most writers work freelance. Where, you know, you get one or two jobs and then you're constantly hustling trying to find the next job. Like when you write a blog, you just sort of get out of the loop of hustling for other jobs just because you have
basically a full-time writing
job. Have a full-time writing job. And it's like I said, it's like a soap opera where there's not necessarily that obvious room for advancement. You're like, I don't necessarily want to be on the soap opera for the rest of my life.
But
it's
you
not,
know what?
It's not the worst gig in the world.
Young and the Restless pays pretty well.
You can get promoted to villain with eye patch.
yeah, exactly. So, but then it just sort of, and basically keeps you from going to the other auditions because you're like, fuck this guy. I don't need him.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck it.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, what were you doing before you became a mega Twitter celebrity?
Oh, I was sitting around and jerking off the porn. But no, really, I just kind of sat around and I was freelance writing, and it sucked. You know, like for all the reasons you guys just said, it was just horrible. And I was just like, you know, I have a goal. You know, I want to be on TV and be a douchebag and please the advertisers. And because, you know, look, that to me is fun. It just sounds like a fun thing to do. And so I knew I had to get there. And that's really how the book came about. But before that, it was just freelance writing. And you don't get anywhere doing that because you're just someone else's bitch. And, you know, sometimes they pay and sometimes they don't, but you just can't move any further than what you can do as a freelance writer.
How much freedom did you have with the book? Was it something, a concept that you came up with and pretty much had a lot of freedom to write what you wanted, or was it something that was sort
there's
of...
There's an ongoing it's an ongoing battle, because I want to be... I want to write it in a way that it's really funny, but the issue is it's going to be this way all the way up until the time I finish it, is the publisher wants it to be like, if a marketer picks it up and goes, okay, I'm not totally offended, you know, he didn't swear too much, I can continue reading. And so I've really had to tone down how I present things. So that's fine, because look, you know, I have a place that I want to go and I need to behave myself to get there. So it's fine until I get there. But I'd just rather be funny. But, you know, it's just one of those things. You gotta tone it down.
Don't let me put words in your mouth, but tell me if I'm wrong on this. I feel like as nonfiction books are concerned, like the way that you have to sell and market a book is kind of perfectly at odds with a book actually being compelling enough to read all the way through. Where, like, to sell a book and to market a book, they want, like, this perfect idea that you can sum up in one sentence, like, oh, it's like the history of salt. And then, and, you know, so you can go on The Daily Show and they can be like, well, why do you think everyone is going to turn into chicks in 50 years? And then you can tell them, like, exactly what the answer to that sentence. And then, because that's all you get on most shows. Whereas, like, if you're actually wanting to read a book, most of the books that are actually good are, you can't really describe them. You know, if you could describe it in a sentence, you really would not want to read it for.
Right.
But that extends out to all forms of entertainment.
That's true.
Movies,
yeah.
Music. I mean, when we talked to Perry Grip, he was telling us the frustrations he had with the record label, and that they were sort of trying to make them a band that they weren't, or trying to have them make music that they didn't really want to make. It's like, this is what's popular. Make this music. It'll sell. And right. It doesn't really work that way.
Bullshit. If I owned that record label, it would be like, do more songs about Van Halen.
Well, the problem is, like, business people, you know, something big hits and they're like, oh, everybody's got to do that. And it's totally like chasing your tail instead of looking for the next thing. It's like, how can we capitalize on the last thing?
Yeah, but most higher ups are more afraid of losing their job than doing what's creative or different or new.
And to be fair, that's where the money is. I mean,
yeah, like, the money is with the retards.
You're much more likely. It's pretty easy to find the next Candlebox. It's much harder to find, like, the next Nirvana. You know.
What about what's Steven Seagal's band's name? Thunderbox.
Thunderbox. Speaking of, I did want to get back to Ted Nugent, because I just looked up the lyrics to Cat Scratch Fever, and I wanted to just give everybody an idea of what I mean when I say Ted Nugent's a douchebag. If you actually pay attention to what he's saying in Cat Scratch Fever, oh my God. The first time I got it, I was just 10 years old. I got it from some kitty next door. I went to the doctor and he gave me the cure. I think I wanted some more, and then my favorite line, I'll make the pussy purr with the stroke of my hand. You know they get it from me. God, terrible.
That rivals anything that Kiss wrote
in shittiness.
Wow. But you know, like, what's great about that? Is that just a visual of some asshole standing behind Nugent going, that's going to be a number one record.
Yeah. And him just fucking, you know, in his loincloth, just hip thrusting the whole time.
I'm picturing, like, the producers in front of the console, and he's pushing up the levels and, like, smiling and nodding. He's got, like, one hand on the earphone. He's going,
yeah.
He's like looking up and smiling, and, like, encouraging.
That's the most awkward thing is people in a room together listening to music, and everybody feeling they have to do something to prove that they're feeling the music. They have to, like, bop their head or something.
Same way with porn.
Yeah, in Super 8 the other night, I was sitting next to some critic. I forget where I can't remember what he said he was from, but
is he embargoed from Rotten Tomatoes?
No, it was like the second scene, and, you know, it started with a musical interlude, and the dude was grooving the fuck out to the interlude,
rocking out.
Yeah, to the point where I almost wanted to turn to the side and be like, "Dude, please stop." Not?
I just would. It's always to make it awkward. You lean forward really far. and then just stare right at him. Like, lean forward in your seat and just cock your head and just stare. And be like, bro,
Speaking of movies, Brett is here.
Brett!
And this is the first week that we got four of us and a guest, and we've all seen the movie.
Who's the guest? Who is this?
It's Brandon. We're not going to fucking go back and just and do his whole bio.
Yeah, we can't
over.
Go back in time.
Is he nice?
He is. He smells good. He's got nice skin.
That's what my second wife told me. Just don't tell my first wife that.
That's where I heard about you from.
Well, Brett, welcome.
Hello.
How was the squirrel drawing convention?
Oh, man. You've never seen such squirrels.
So that's kind of cool. Well, how I draw it is the head first, and then I get to the tail.
Hey, I'll start with the tail, personally.
The thing with me is if you can't draw the tail good, it's just not going to read squirrel.
All right, so everyone break off into groups.
What you got yourself there is a rat or a beaver.
Moscone Convention Center just filled with people making that voice.
Yeah.
Question.
I bet it's deafening.
So, everybody's got their cell phone on little holsters.
Hey.
No, they all have iPads on holsters.
Yeah.
Just attached to their belt in like
one
a
sad paintbrush.
Yeah, it's the iPad or the things you can draw on. Like the little
Wacom tablet, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, they all have that in a leather holster on their person.
Hey, I'm going to go off into the tail drawn seminar.
I know a lot of us got our starts in chipmunks and beavers, but, you know, once we got here,
I'm learning to draw acorns.
You know what the amazing thing is?
You got to adapt or die.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was at the Conservative Political Action Conference a couple of years ago, not by choice. And if you replace beaver with the word Jesus, how you guys are describing it, that's exactly like it.
Sounds about right. I did drive by, I don't think it might have been the Moscone, but on Monday was the Steve Jobs gave a keynote speech. And there was
drove the Worldwide by, Developers Conference.
Yeah, there was a line around like four blocks. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then I remembered the turtlenecks in town.
Wait,
love the turtlenecks.
As much as I bitch about being a movie blogger, if I was a tech blogger, I would definitely blow my fucking brains all over a wall somewhere.
Watch this segue, all right? I went to saw X-Men. I went to saw it. Am I not on? Oh, I'm using the mic. Fuck you guys.
Say that again?
Sabotage.
You got to talk closer into the mic.
Fuck you.
Like right here.
Fuck you.
It's still too far away.
Fuck you.
No one can hear you saying fuck you to me.
I can hear him.
Go ahead. All right. So I went to saw X-Men. Yeah, I know. It's like the first time I've seen a movie that you've asked me in probably a year.
Right? When
we've
was
been doing this for a year.
I'm so the morning super.
Theater entirely filled with fucking Mac Expo people, and it was annoying as shit because it's like nerds in their comfort zone, and they're just like, oh shit, I'm allowed to speak in public without fear of retribution. And so they just fucking...
So it was basically Mac Expo.
What?
Oh,
X-Men. Mac X-Men.
Oh, man.
Were they all... So this is,
that
the,
was, oh.
This is the other thing I
stopped you for that. Sorry, go ahead.
This is the other thing I always enjoy about whether it's the nerds from conventions or whatever, but they all wear their lanyards all day long.
All day long. Yeah. All day long. Where were you today? Lanyard will tell
check
you.
Check the lanyard.
That's the only clean thing they got.
Oh, we always laugh about any, you know, like film festival or Comic-Con, the movie blogger form of dogs sniffing each other's butts is people discreetly trying to look at the other person's lanyard to see who the other person is.
Right.
Like what company they're from?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a...
That guy's from Slash Film.
That's Steve Torbs from squirrels.com. Hey, he's my hero.
I stole a badge to go to the Game Developer Conference, and it had the speaker tag on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was weird because I don't think everyone liked the speech or something. I was getting a lot of fucking stink eyes.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't look like the guy that gave the speech, but I don't like you.
I got I filled out my stuff for the Comic-Con badge for this year, and it had a slot for nickname. I was like, oh, what's this? So I just like fucked around, and then I got my badge, and it just says Panda Rape in giant letters across the top of the badge now. I was like, I don't have a nickname. Let's have fun with this. And then, yeah.
What would be an okay thing to put on there?
I don't know.
Squeeze box.
Squeeze box.
Squirrel.
Milking it. He's milking it.
I'm drunk.
I like that panda rape was the first thought that came to your mind when it comes to nickname.
You know what I'd like to be called?
I've always wanted people to call me panda rape.
It's funny because they hate sex.
Just Ben sitting there daydreaming in a meadow. If I had a nickname.
I always wish my friends would
if
call
I
me.
If I had a nickname,
it would be panda rape.
All right, Brett, you first. You just got here. X-Men, go.
No, I feel like you should go because you liked it, and I feel like I'm going to be contrarian. It's what we do. It's the shtick.
I didn't love it. I liked it quite a bit.
When you pitched me on it, it was with like a slow ball cup jerk off motion.
Yeah, I liked it.
Kind of like.
I mean, I have problems with it. I thought the whole subplot with the oh, you could just be. I hate this. The whole just don't be afraid to be who you are because
oh
it's
please like
it's the most patronizing fucking thing
was,
ever.
They did the Shrek ending where he turned into Beast. And she's like, now you look beautiful. Or like, now you look normal. Yeah. Or whatever it was, you know. Yeah.
That was a movie entirely filled of people making serious faces while they did something with their hand at the camera.
Yeah, totally.
Like, oh, I'm touching my brain. That's how you know the brain powers are working.
I loved the Charles Xavier, like, mind, you know, two fingers on the temple thing.
Looking serious.
What's funny is every time he did it, I cracked up because it reminded me, this is so obscure, but... sometime in the mid-'80s, Christopher Walken hosted Saturday Night Live, and there was a sketch where he was Trivial Psychic.
Yeah.
And so he would, like, shake someone's hand, and he got this look on his face. He'd be like, you're going to buy an ice cream cone later. You're going to eat it too fast. You're going to get a headache. It's going to hurt real bad.
So while I was watching Bacon Rock Out, so I thought Fassbender did a really good job. And Bacon,
oh God,
Bacon
I got ass bended. So
yeah,
hard.
No, he did a really
the fuck is Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, of all the people that were like moving their hands at the camera and looking serious, he did it in a way that I felt maybe this guy's pretty serious about this. He's really gonna move some metal.
Assbender's pretty good. I think
Bacon hams it up so well, and I was just like in my head while I was watching. It's like fuck, who would be on my hammiest of all hams? Top list.
Gary Oldman.
Like, yeah. Nicholas Cage.
Robert Downey's pretty good. Pretty big ham, and he's pretty good at it.
I had Malkovich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And there was one more too.
I really like the temple. Fingers of the temple.
Pacino.
Look at Gary Oldman in The Professional, and it's like that is like the hammiest. I love that movie.
Gary
but,
Oldman in True Romance.
Yeah. You must have thought it was White Boy Day.
Yeah,
it's not White Boy Day. Yeah. How about Gary Oldman in Fifth Element?
Yeah, seriously, all of those. Yeah, Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg. Yeah. But when he's like taking the drugs and the professional, he's like, ah!
Yeah.
And then he yells at everyone!
My entire life is built around waiting for someone within earshot to say everyone.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, sorry. I know it's our thing to not let anyone get a word in, but Brandon, do you have any take on X-Men?
Yeah. Here's the whole thing with X-Men. Right before it started was the Rise of the Planet of the Apes trailer. Yeah. And I laughed my ass off through the whole trailer.
Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. It's a remake.
I went into X-Men like just laughing. So, you know, I might have had a skewed opinion. But here's the thing. You know, as a comic fan, I, on the way home, I was explaining to my wife that Azazel, the red guy that disappears, is Nightcrawler's dad. And Mystique is his mom, and she was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And, like, that to me was perfect. She was, like, the perfect X-Men audience, and that's why it was good, because you didn't need to know any of that bullshit to enjoy it. You know, like, you didn't even have to think about any of that convoluted comic book bullshit to it.
Right.
It was dumb, it was entertaining, there was a little nice things in it. You know, the first issue of Uncanny X-Men is pretty much the plot to the movie. The Magneto costume is exactly like the cover, if you look at it. So, like, stuff like that was really cool. But, you know, was it a great movie? No. But it was just you didn't have to take any of the baggage in with you, and that made it good to me.
I didn't know that they made Nightcrawler, and I also didn't know that Hula Hoop Man was Cyclops' dad.
There you go.
His brother.
His brother.
Yeah, his dad's a space pirate.
Oh.
Yeah, because I read the comics. There was a brief window of time when I was really into comics. It was probably, like, 2 years. From
2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago. And like, so I kind of knew enough.
I'm picturing Brendan 2 years ago. Yeah. Just like,
I got a bunch of comics for my 28th birthday, and just got really into them for a while.
The big pile of comics on his coffee table.
I take them to my end of my end of the bathroom at work.
Yeah,
and I just sit in there for hours.
Really related to Colossus. No, but you know, I remember. So I knew like enough, but a lot of those, I was like, I remember that name, but I don't remember what they do or why they're important. But I guess you're right. In the end, it didn't really matter all that much.
That's what I like. You know, that's the thing with all the comic book films is you got these assholes that go into the theater with these expectations, like they have to acknowledge every little thing. That's why I think Green Lantern is going to suck horribly, because it looks like they did that.
Yeah, where they're like, everybody's going to know the Green Lantern oath, duh.
Yeah, right. Like, it's just totally unnecessary. Yeah.
You sure? Sure, that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that half the movie is CGI weird aliens?
Yeah,
that might have something to do with it.
All right, so devil's advocate among this group, like aside from the Born This Way subplot, I thought it did a really good job of driving home the whole, you know, Malcolm X MLK thing, which is basically, you know, the central story of X-Men. I don't know. I love the alternate history stories. I always get a big boner for that. I don't know why.
Yeah. I really like cool. Kevin Bacon putting the red missile on Cuba in the in the future montage, like how it plays out. He's got like his own head. It's like a Mugatu scene.
Oh, also,
obey my dog.
They're chanting President Bacon or whatever.
Turnbull, Turnbull, Turnbull.
It's like the world is burning, and they're all like President Shaw. Shaw.
He's got a periscope with outline of Cuba on it.
Right.
See, I kind of feel as if. If they'd hammed it up a little bit more for the rest of the movie and then made Fassbender stuff extra serious, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like they tried to be a little too serious throughout the movie, and it's kind of like,
Dude, but how awesome was his Nazi killing?
That's what I'm saying.
It was so good.
I was watching that, and I was like, oh, man, I wish I was born like 40 years earlier.
I was giddy with joy during watching
Nazis.
That.
That's the coolest thing ever.
It's the best enemy because you don't have to feel any remorse. It's like, oh, and then he cut off his dick and shoved it in his mouth, and he lit him on fire and fed him to wildebeest, and you're like,
good.
Fuck yeah, fucking Nazi. Fuck you faggot. Suck it.
Fucking asshole deserved it. Had it coming to him.
Yeah. And plus, it's like the ultimate catharsis because it's just him enforcing his will. It's just like, knifing you. Knife back to me. Knifing you again.
There was definitely... I felt some parts were pretty hammy when... almost felt Austin Powers-y. The first time that Xavier has the other telepath in his brain, he's like... Ooh, with, of course, his fingers to the temple.
That's how you know it's working.
I've never had someone else in my mind. This is weird. but I really enjoyed, first of all, you know, I should have known a little bit better since Magneto came from the Holocaust, but I mean, this is truly the only Jew superhero ever.
Superhero.
And he is powerful.
Oh, yeah, you're going to give me shit for the Mac Expo, but you're going to go with Jupiter Hero? Suck a dick.
Yeah, suck a dick, Brett. And so we got that. I was pretty proud.
Can we talk about how Magneto's superpower is looking like the most Aryan man in the world, and then his mom is like fucking straight-up World War II propaganda poster nose?
I like that the only memory that made him cry is lighting Hanukkah candles when he was a kid. And he's like, Xavier, what did you do? I barely remember lighting that menorah. And they're both crying, like about to make out.
Festival of Lights.
And then I really enjoyed the part at the end when Magneto decides he's sort of bad. He's like, who's with me? And the bad guys, Azazel, and they're like, yeah, of course, we're with you.
We're the bad guys.
Yeah. Don't need to even look over here. Yeah. We're coming with you. We're already bad. Like,
I did enjoy, I don't know who came up with it. One of the other movie writers came up with that one redhead, Banshee, calling him drunk Ron Weasley.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was Ron Weasley.
Yeah.
He looked just like... And then I did really enjoy that Token Black got killed. Of course, they had to kill him.
I think we might have to rephrase that slightly.
Well, that wasn't the same guy from South Park?
No, you're just like, I really enjoyed seeing the Token Black guy get killed.
Okay. It wasn't very surprising. It's like, oh, all right. You know, here's the black 60s dude. And it's like, oh, they killed him off.
So, Ben, is Magneto like the Sandy Koufax of the comic book world
yeah,
for you?
Totally.
Do you hold him in the same regard?
Yeah, there's a whole spinoff.
Lenny Kravitz.
Whose daughter was in, she was Angel.
That's true, yeah.
Lenny Kravitz's daughter is Angel?
Yeah, was Angel, yeah.
Was she, I don't remember her from the comics. Was she like a throwaway meme?
No, you know, I had to go and look that up because I was so confused because I do remember Angel was one of the original X-Men, but it was a guy. He was in X-Men 3, yep. Remember? He grew the wings?
Yeah, he's
And then he became Archangel or Archangel later.
He got all spooky.
Yeah, but she she became Tempest.
I don't know what that is.
Tempest is a villain.
It's a Shakespeare.
Villain. Right. Yes.
Brett read the reason.
It's also an Atari game.
Yeah. Brendan read these much more recently, so they're fresh in his memory.
Yes. I will say about X-Men, it's always bugged me that the main characters have a really specific mutations. Like, oh, he can control metal. He has super healing powers. He is a psychic. And then, like, the minor characters, like, oh, well, he's kind of toad-like. Oh, she, well, she's kind of like a fox. It's just they sort of just half-ass it for all the minor characters.
I remember, yeah.
She's like a dragonfly chick. Yeah, go with that.
They kept introducing characters, and I still remember even being probably, I don't know, 11 or 12 and being like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Oh, Brett Ratner's one, there was a guy who threw pieces of wood. That was his mutation.
Yeah.
He's really good at growing pieces of wood and throwing them
at
you.
Yeah, remember there was a porcupine guy? but I remember there was one guy who had really good luck.
Wasn't that a show? Wasn't that like a a failed TV show a few years ago?
Probably. I don't know. But it was just like he would do all sorts of crazy shit and he would like live. He would like jump off a building and live.
Yeah.
Because he like had good luck and like something broke his fall. And he, you know,
that was a that
long
was,
shot.
Who was it?
It was Long Shot.
Long Shot. That's right.
Oh, and he, super, he had a mullet.
Kicking in.
He had like super 80s. He had a mullet and like shot. a Bowie jacket.
What did you say? Yeah. Brandon, what did you say?
It's my inner Milhouse kicking in. Yeah, you're talking about Longshot. Speaking of which, you're talking about, with Magneto, you got to have the whole Holocaust story in there. They did it in the first film, and that's why I just assumed that they included it in there. But, you know, Superman is actually the first, like, Jewish superhero.
What?
He's like, a lot of people forget that, but he's directly descended from... what the hell is it? The Golem or whatever it was?
Kal-El Burke?
Dude, he's from another planet. I know Jews are universal, but come on. I'm talking about American. Right. Like,
universal.
Superman's dad was Jor-El.
Whatever.
Jor-El Steen.
Whatever. That's why he had that little spit curl.
Kal-El Steen.
He had that little the Superman curl.
Rosenberg, Bloomstein, Kal-El.
Except he never had a bris. It didn't really work out.
Oh, what was that building we saw the other day that was the Italian equivalent of the Milton Feldstein building?
Oh, shit. I forget. That was a good one.
There's this building in San Francisco called the Milton Feldstein Building. And it's like you can't say it without saying, "Hey, Milton Feldstein." And then we saw, I forget what it was. It was the perfect like Italian version of that where it was like, "Hey, it's the Giuseppe Stromboli building."
Yeah.
Hey, who stole my cabbage? Some elephant to come in here and eat my cabbage. Who gonna pay for this?
Would that be your superpower?
How is the mom? Yeah.
Just cabbage. Being really upset about cabbage stuff. Anywhere in the world, you know when a cabbage has been ruined?
What's his mutation? Oh, he just keeps gesticulating and yelling.
And he can eat a lot of Flaming Hot Cheetos.
He's short.
Flinging from his crotch. Just flinging stuff.
He makes up for his shortness by puffing up like a jellyfish and pufferfish and gesticulating.
He can steer an IROC with one hand.
Yeah. I saw that guy in the first Star Wars film.
So are they already planning X-Men second grade or whatever? Or
according to Wikipedia, they are.
X-Men sophomore year.
Is that like the 80s one? Is it the 80s one?
The college years?
Yeah. Fast Times at Xavier High.
It's like really awkward.
Another thing that I did really enjoy is like... they'll never find me here at my gigantic 50,000 room place.
Oh, yeah. By the way, his place in Westchester is like, oh, we meet up with Xavier when he's 10 years old in New York. And he's like, oh, hello, darling. It's like, where the fuck did you get that accent from? I'm just supposed to buy that your British accent because you're rich?
Yeah, that's.
I sort of figured because he's rich, he went to some like finishing school. Or
yeah,
something.
Like when he was 10?
Who knows?
Brandon, he's adopted.
Is that it?
I don't like not to kick in the Milhouse, but
I genuinely want to know the answer.
Brandon, he was adopted, he's living with whoever adopted him. So it could be that he was. I don't know if he is or not, but it could be that that character was from the United Kingdom and was adopted.
Adopted when he was like 12. Well, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Brandon, I'm picturing you more.
Still,
by the way, like,
still a little weak. You lose your act. I mean, if you are somewhere after the age of like 8 or 9, you're not going to have an accent.
The accent comes with the mind powers.
Well, the other thing was Aspender.
You can't be a telepath without being British.
Aspender kind of had like, he almost had like a very like mild Irish accent. Like I work with a guy who's lived in America for like 8 years, mm-hmm. and he's got this like mild Irish accent, and that's what he talks like.
Well, but he's Polish.
Was Polish. Yeah, so that didn't really make much sense either.
By mild Irish, do you mean his accent changed like 3 times throughout the movie?
By mild Irish, you just mean like drunk, like he slurs his words?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I felt like his accent.
Oh, let me tell you guys a story. Hama
Shama Shama.
Pedophile cult.
The pedophile cult.
Pedophile cult.
And that was Scots. Come on,
those were Scots. Yeah.
God, that was impossible to understand. God, I need to find that clip. That was amazing.
No, we played the game where none of us could figure out what the fuck they were saying.
We had a whole like 3 episodes about it.
I don't care. I love it that much.
Are you that drunk?
Do you think people listen to all of these?
No way. We can tell the repeat material on here. No one would ever know. Good night and good chins.
He's got Joe Rogan.
Yeah, Joe Rogan.
I do also always enjoy lines. So when they're about to bomb the beach with all the mutants, but there's also the CIA agent on the beach, and they say like,
Rose Byrne.
There's an agent on that beach. It's all right. It's just one. It's
collateral damage.
No, but the guy says, but she's a good agent. I
like
that
was kind of his like half-assed play. It's like, well, she's
actually
she's
pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
but to be honest, he's really hot.
Yeah,
Rose Byrne
I just want one of the generals,
hot.
Just one of the generals to fart when they're like, "We got an agent on that beach."
Beep. I got an argument with my girlfriend over whether Jennifer Lawrence is hot or not.
Jennifer Lawrence is Mystique.
She's cute. Yeah. She still just looks very young. I think like in 2 years she'll be like really hot.
When she looks like Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Dude, are you gay? Oh, yeah. I hate nubile 17-year-old girls. It's the worst thing in the world.
Brandon, when she's
all disgusting and voluptuous.
She's kind of got some baby fat on her
supple.
Face.
Oh, I hate it. Terrible.
Well, 17 will get you 20, so just remember that.
All smooth-skinned and hairless. Oh, the worst. It's just the worst.
Unafraid of prison.
She's got that sweat that smells like a baby's scalp.
This is Vince talking right now, by the way. This is Vince.
What's the dude's name from To Catch a Predator?
I saw Arch Barker at
IMs.
Is that a ticket stub from X-Men First Class? Why don't you have a seat?
I saw Arch Barker at Cobb's, and one of his jokes, he's talking about like dating and the girls he's talking about his date always being like, "I don't want to have sex with you, Arch. I got an ice cream headache." Yeah, I did that terribly, but it was funny. Yeah. Guess she had to be there. Anywho. What? Move on, all right?
Mutant power sucks.
Rose Byrne is hot.
She's all right.
I think she's way hotter.
Who's that?
PFL cult and
she's the and yeah. CIA agent.
But he's dead now. Sonny dead, really. He's Efron.
I think she said Zac Efron.
I'm not really crab, but I'm not crab at all sometimes.
When she's crab, but I don't like her like that.
No, I move. Because I'd been drinking in that the night of.
Brandon, what did they just say?
I have no fucking clue.
They're speaking in Hobbit.
You guys don't have any Scots like in Long Island?
That was Scottish.
There might be. I haven't been there in years, thank God. It was an awful place. If Long Island got nuked tomorrow, I would have a party. And all of you were invited.
Where do you live
people
now?
Listening at home. All of you are invited.
Where do you reside these days?
Shitty Glens Falls, New York.
I do not know.
Where's
where
Shitty
is?
Glens Falls, New York?
Is that near nice Glens Falls, New York?
Do they just call it Glens Falls to fuck with people so like it just bugs the shit out of people when we can't say Glens Falls?
They all have like they all have inferiority complexes here. So if you ask any of them, like, oh, where do you live? Oh, Shitty Glens Falls. And so, yeah, it's just like this little town in upstate New York. It's like in the middle of nowhere, which is fine. But I love the inferiority complex that everyone's got because we have a temporary hockey team. Like we borrowed an AHL team from Philadelphia, the Phantoms. Everyone's like, yeah, they're great, but they're going to be gone next year. So fuck it. Just like so down on themselves. It's awesome.
Is Shitty Glens one word or is actually a 3-word town?
Well, you could spell it how you want. Either way, they won't correct you.
Because why bother?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care anymore.
I like thinking of Shitty Glens as one word.
There you go.
That makes me happy.
Like Shitty Glenn's your drug dealer. Oh, dude, fucking Shitty Glenn's coming over and he's bringing his fucking falls. Fuck you, Shitty Glenn.
Shitty Glenn's. But yeah, I thought X-Men was above average. I did like the little Wolverine cameo. Was enjoyable.
Yeah, and
I'm cute. Trying to remember the first two. I mean, I remember liking the first two, but I don't know, this one was up there.
First one was kind of weak.
They're actually on TV recently.
First one kind of weak.
Second one with the badass. Teleporting guy was fucking badass.
The Wolverine cameo kind of threw me off because he was an original X-Man, wasn't he? Oh, no, he wasn't.
He's an
you're
agent.
Right. You're right. He wasn't. He appeared later.
Where like Storm had the mohawk.
I dropped my inhaler.
Brandon could probably give us an exact timeline for Wolverine.
I can. How sad is that? 1975
is when he shows up.
Yeah, the X-Men first came out in 1963, so he came out way later. Yeah. They were trying to be all international when they rolled him out.
Colossus, so, too, right?
Yeah, he was way later. So who were the original X-Men? It was like Angel, Beast, Jean Grey, Cyclops.
And Iceman.
And Iceman.
Iceman.
Yeah, that's right.
So for this, they didn't stick to their
What's
the
up?
Comic.
Can I get some nerd cred? Yeah, holla.
Beep, beep.
But Maverick was nowhere to be found.
Who's Maverick?
From Top Gun.
that was a crossover. Oh, yeah.
I had to do it. I immediately regret it, but I just had to go for the Tom Cruise joke.
I regret nothing.
And is that accurately how Professor X was paralyzed?
No. There's this whole ridiculous thing with that. There was just some random villain that breaks his back.
I loved the angle of, you know, like in Hot Tub Time Machine. Probably my favorite part of Hot Tub Time Machine is the fact that Crispin Glover starts out with no arm, so they go back in time, and then it's just sort of like a running joke on how is this guy going to lose his arm. And then they kind of had that with, there's a little bit of that in X-Men. Like, oh, how's he going to
get paralyzed? At what point is he going to get paralyzed?
Yeah. I like that. I love that angle.
And then he goes, maybe I'm just going to go bald.
Yeah, I don't know.
And maybe I'm going to be the captain of a Starship Enterprise one day.
All in one year. He just can't walk. He goes bald. He loses all his ladies' man powers. Yeah.
1963. Shitty year for Professor X.
Yeah.
I think the tragic ending.
Shitty year for Kennedy, too.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Too soon.
Beat you to it.
Not soon enough.
Cuber. Cuber.
Yeah, I laughed when he said Cuber, and then I realized they were actually playing the real audio. I thought it was someone. I thought it was like that episode of Mad Men when Ted Kennedy or Robert F. Kennedy calls him, and they're like,
we've got a problem with Cuber. They've got the weapons, in fact,
And then I remember, because on that episode of Mad Men, I was like, oh my God, they did it. They just got like the worst voiceover actor ever. They finally mailed something in, and then it turned out that there was the guys from the other firm like calling them jokingly.
We will not bow before these queers or any of their nuclear weapons in Cuba.
For they are totally queer.
These queers can't have
Fuck
nuclear.
Fuck you, fucking queers.
Can't put missiles on near our shores.
Is that for
me? Sorry.
Did you hit a cough on your soundboard?
No.
Is that what you hit with something that you went?
did I? I don't know.
Yeah. Not have that.
Is Ben Affleck saying "fuck you, you fucking quiz"? Is that from Good Will Hunting or is that from The Town? I forget.
Fuck you, fucking quiz.
Or
I don't know.
Gone Baby Gone.
I'm not
or
sure.
Whatever.
Actually, anybody?
Mystic River.
I really don't know.
I don't know. Boondock Saints.
I think it's from Geely.
Also, so
some reindeer games.
To go back to Super 8 briefly.
Let's not.
No, just briefly.
Wait, I was gone.
What the fuck are you doing over there?
I had to get something for my wife.
You making? Did you pee in a cup for her? Pour this on yourself, baby. I'm tired. That's what we do. 17-year-olds, ice cream headaches. Where else can I go with this? Hello?
Chris Hansen.
Is this thing on? Kirsten. Kirsten, I don't think this mic is working.
Kirsten, give me your mic. I must make some more jokes about the Judy.
It's not working.
I don't know what that means. What's going on here?
Oh, man.
Oh, she cries like Juden in the oven. It gets so hot.
Maybe you should listen to the Fraudcast.
Is this when I was gone?
Yes.
It's our new Nazi stand-up comedy.
You guys get racist when I'm gone.
It's a Nazi stand-up comedy character based on Lars
Munchkin. I got to tell you guys, I think that for a comic... Adolf Hitler would be a great stage name.
It's true.
Because you would go and see it. You would go and see it. Because either way, it's going to be either hilarious or terrible. Because if it's actually Hitler performing on stage, you're going to want to see him die.
Yeah.
So either way, you win.
That's true. I have this theory that wine vineyards should start naming themselves like white people name their kickball teams. Because
like the dirty twats. It's
starting to get there. Because you're moving in the right direction.
You never are going to remember like Deer Valley or Glen Park or you know like Bear Falls. But if it's like I jizzed in my grandma's casket vineyards, like you're going to fucking remember that.
So remember when I said I did that bullshit pre-built team building project thing where they had like a company that built those team building projects.
I don't pay attention to you very much, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I see you reaching for the soundboard. Keep that hand down. The good thing that came out of it was someone called their team Scrotal Recall.
I do like that.
That makes it all worth it.
Yeah, no. And I was like, fucking team built, motherfuckers. Boom. Trust ball.
Can we go back to Nazi hunting? I still really want to talk about that. I think we could do a whole podcast on Nazi hunting. How cool would that be? You get to hang
now
out.
Now they're all 90 and it's weird.
I know. So I could totally just, like, do it now. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I could just smother them with a pillow now. Like
a paper. You go,
just be like doing your just, angry orgasm.
just push your wheelchair downstairs. Yeah. How you like me now, bitch?
That's all. I get to go to like Argentina, Brazil, and like awesome European, like Western European countries that I've all wanted to go to, and just smother people with pillows or withhold meds or
dude,
like
another cool thing about South hard. America
just shake them a little bit
yeah. I'm picturing the age of consent is like 12 or 13 down there.
we actually joked when we were traveling around once that there should be a book that gives you the age of consent in every country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that could just be an app, like an iPhone app.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have that?
Oh, Vince obviously does.
Yeah.
It's all scrawled.
How do you guys not download that?
But I am picturing
scrawled on the back of a playing card. Oh, it's an iPhone.
It's
app.
got Chloe Moretz on the avatar.
I am picturing
Hit Girl.
Picturing Brendan with no carry-ons or anything.
So hot.
Jesus.
Yeah, wearing the suit.
Yeah, but all he's doing is carrying around a single pillow.
Yeah.
Just traveling around like, hey, we're off to today. I'm going to Buenos Aires.
No. I'm wearing the suit. The black suit with the black skinny tie, like Pulp Fiction style, but then I have a briefcase.
With a pillow.
And inside the briefcase is the pillow, and I take out the pillow. And then I say, and then they're just like lying there like catatonic in their bed. And then I'm like, I believe you say Alf Vita Sane.
But you do everything really, really slow.
Right,
like
right.
You go in, it's
very
like,
deliberate.
And they don't really recognize you, but they've sort of heard of you.
Yeah.
And they, like, you
perhaps you don't recognize me, Mr. Von Bulow. And like,
but you may have heard this name.
Yeah. I know someone who does. He was there in, you know, Bergen-Belsen in 1943. He seems to remember you.
You just pull out his feeding tube and just like sticking it up his nose. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you like the taste of that?
No,
oh.
just pull it out. Just like, pull it out. Yeah. All right.
Yep. It's very
sweet. You might as well just cooking. Do the human centipede.
Yeah.
Just Nazi centipede.
Human Nazi-pede.
You may have heard of me. I'm the Nazi-cutioner. I'm here for you. And it's just very deliberate and slow.
I have stuffs him like sausage.
Ich bin ein Nazi-cutioner.
I think we have a mini-series on our hands.
Yeah, exactly.
We've made Nazi-verst.
Yeah.
Brendan as the Nazi-cutioner.
Just count to drei and it will all be over.
Eins.
Yeah, that's my new job. Elderly Nazi hunter.
slow Nazi coin through the head. One of the better ways to kill a villain.
Oh, that made me come almost as hard as...
I had a little bit of a revenge boner.
I wanted to see something more violent.
No, because it's slow. It's just like, oh, what's up? You can't move because of my buddy? Oh, let's just stick this in your brain.
And it's a Nazi coin. Think of the symbolism.
Just put this in your brain.
Where was he carrying that the whole
time? It's a Jew killing a Nazi with Nazi money.
Because there were no pockets in those X-Men costumes.
That's someone's mutation. He didn't just carry stuff anywhere.
In his ass. That's his mutation.
Pocket man.
Pack mule.
Pack mule.
Drug mule.
Such a great name.
He's Magneto. He just like sticks it to the back of his leg or something.
Oh, yeah. I guess he's magnetic.
Dude, we got to carry this 30-pack into a movie theater. Get pack mule. I can carry anything.
Man, that's a...
discreetly carry anything.
Yeah, it's like, dude, that guy's heavy. And then he just opens his stomach up and there's just a cooler in there filled with beer.
Pretty cool trick.
I haven't heard my mom shriek with terror very many times in my life. The one time that I did was in college one time during the summer. I went to college in Southern California, and so I got a job, and so I called her, and I said,
"Yeah, I heard you play football there."
I said, "Yeah." I said, "Hey, Mom, I got a job," and she goes, "Oh, what? You know, where'd you get hired?" And I said, "Well, all I have to do is go to Mexico, pick up a duffel bag, and walk north." And she screamed. She shrieked with terror. She's so gullible.
Mom, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah. I'm just walking.
Yeah. There won't hardly be any cars in the desert.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? Seriously. Anyway, I'm going to send you my dry cleaning. If you can get that cleaned up, that'd be great.
All right. You guys want to circle the wagons on this bitch?
All right.
Put this to bed. Well, Brandon, thanks for coming on.
I just like making up business cliches that don't mean anything. We're just going to open the
kimono
and circle the wagons and just
nauseous when someone says open the kimono. All I think about is like some like sleazy balding guy with his like greasy hair like slicked back into a really short ponytail that barely fits into the ponytail, wearing like a silk kimono and having like a gut that hangs over his genitals.
Yep.
And then like, you know, getting some like, you know, paying top dollar for like an Asian hooker and then just opening his kimono. That's what I picture.
Or an aging Nazi.
Yeah, or an aging Nazi. quick story. I keep forgetting to tell the story, but what was it? 3 Frotcasts ago, we had Matt Ufford on from Warm and Glow. He was out in San Francisco visiting. So we all went to a Giants game, and actually I had already had plans to go with my sister. And so we met at a bar before the Giants game.
The story's boring.
Thanks, guy who showed up 20 minutes ago. We went to a bar beforehand, and you know, I introduced Vince and Matt to my sister, and then they went to go get beers, and my sister goes, "They're both kind of cute, but God, they are pasty." So I was like, "Oh, that is like the ultimate blogger."
I've tanned so much since then, though. Oh man, I'm just like a
bronze. Got the blogger tan.
Yeah.
I'm so bronze.
Just like a monitor burn on your face, like it's a underlit sort of blue tan.
Yeah, I was standing outside in line at the DMV yesterday. I got so much color.
So in my squirrel drawing seminar, all I wrote down in my notebook was business card that just says the future. And then you just stare at them, right? Hey, keep in touch. I'll be in contact.
Hey, I'll think outside the box sometimes.
What about on the back? It has like a specific set of coordinates, like 4 years in the future.
Well, I like the
I try
the
to stay proactive.
Really,
I take a soup to nuts approach to the squirrels.
In the same way that the trivia psychic
the end
is
of the
funny,
day.
Right?
The fortune cookie just says, "Don't go home tonight."
Right. Right. I saw one that said I'm trapped in a fortune cookie
At the end
factory.
Of the day, you're horrible. Either the lead dog or else the view don't change. You know what I mean?
My buddy in high school once got 2 blank fortunes in a row. Not a good sign.
Is he dead now?
Yeah, twice.
Oh. Makes sense.
Who's dead? What's going on?
God,
we're grandparents saying goodbye, where they just walk out to the end of the driveway and they just stand there waving.
That's what Matt made that same joke
before they died.
That is grandparent universal.
Matt made that same joke a few weeks ago. Speaking of Matt, when he was in town.
pasty.
Where can people find you so you can scare them away from your Twitter feed?
That's right. Oh, that's the best place to start. It's at BJ Mendelsohn. I don't give any BJs, but I will offend and piss you off. So which I guess would be the same thing.
And then places that you write for, just the Twitter feed. All right, well, he will follow him, and then he will
start
you
there
away.
And at the end of the day you can just find him wherever, you know, through the Twitter feed. That's just how, you know, web 2.0 and blogging and all that stuff.
Alienating people who have shown interest 140 characters at a time.
There you go,
BJ Mendelsohn.
Well, Brandon, thanks for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Frogcast.
We're fully vertically integrated. You know, we draw squirrels.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We distribute squirrels.
Brandon just bloop out now.
Yeah. Sorry.
Somebody tip him over.
I'm drunk.
I'm still here.
I'm drunk. Go ahead.
Brandon.
Brandon, take us on.
All right, guys. Until next week, good night and good chins.